We have two very special guests for you today. What about the kids in Hartford? You hear about it all the time. Well, we've got some people who care, who lay their hearts right out to these kids. And it's brought to you by Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. And we're all in the chair this morning. Now, Touchpoints, what is it? Touchpoints Rehab Services include skilled nursing and all kinds of therapy, home care, and discharge planning, and a comprehensive heart failure program in partnership with St. Francis Hospital. And they are one of our new sponsors, and they're sponsoring special features like this one we're presenting you now. And Dan, two gentlemen we both met the other day, and they are really, really into it with their hearts.
Brian, honored to have Bernard Thomas. He is executive director of Hartford Knights, the education, youth mentoring, and advocacy organization, and program director for the Hartford Knights. Tony Hansen, gentlemen, welcome both to our program.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much.
Bernard, let's start with you. Talk about the Hartford Knights.
The Hartford Knights started off in 2000, started off with my son. We was playing through rec ball out of South Windsor. They went through undefeated. The kids' heads were a little swollen thinking that they could play ball. And I said, until we get to Hartford and you can show us what you can do, only then will you know how good you can play ball. Because between Hartford, Waterbury, New Haven, there have been some talent coming out of this Connecticut area that has been unbelievable throughout the years.
But then it expanded into career counseling, mentoring, all of that, right?
Right. So in 2000, we started the Hartford Knights Youth Organization, and I wanted to bring the Hartford Knights name back because that was something that good that was happening when they had the Hartford Knights football. It was available, so we took advantage of that name. In 2003, the University of Coach Larry Harrison said, if those four kids graduate high school, I will give them four-year scholarships.
Wow. Wow.
That's right. That's when the light bulb clicked off in my head, because you always want to know what you're here for, what your worth is, what are you here to do. Coaching was, I loved coaching, but it had to be a little bit more than just coaching for me, for the students. And it ended up turning out to be, you know, going after their grades, see where they were, you know, when they had their hopes and dreams of various different colleges, letting them understand what their GPA had to be in order to get into that college or even to be considered. So that's what really took off.
And you know, Tony Hansen, sitting right here beside me, I've got to tell you, I've seen you play so many times, and you are, when I found out that you were part of all of this, it's got to be a success. You love kids, and so does Bernard and Dan, and we were talking about it, and it's just amazing. And we've got some big problems with kids in Hartford. Big, big problems. You know, there is a priest, Father Edmund Nadalny. You know Father Ed, I think everybody does. And he met some of these young people, and they were really in problem country with drugs and everything else. So what he has done, and he's got the money, the folks from this that listened to our program was the one that got the money for him, right. But he bought them all, because they know music, these miniature pianos. And would you believe pianos is getting them off drugs? That's almost unbelievable, but it's true.
Yeah, Bernard and I met similar situations. I was coaching in England, and both our sons were involved in basketball. In England, I was running a nonprofit part of that club where we work with several at-risk young people, trying to help them with diversionary tactics to stay out of trouble and focus on their education and using sport as a vehicle. When Bernard and I met, we kind of had a kindred spirit. I sent my son over here to play with his team, and realized that we were both doing the similar things on both sides of the continent. Yes, these young kids, they definitely need as much positivity in their life as we can offer. So when I hear stories like Father Ed doing what he's doing and what Bernard has been doing, my heart is, full, because that's the kind of things that I feel has been important to me all my life with my UConn career, working with young people. And I'm now retired from coaching, and Bernard offered me opportunity to keep busy. So I said I would help out, and I'm just totally immersed in the kind of work that he's doing.
What a story. Yeah.
It's a great
fabulous
story. You know, we have a Waterbury affiliate, so those who might remember, Tony, of course, played high school basketball at Holy Cross High School under Tim McDonald, then went to UConn and played for D. Rowe. But were you the first class at Holy Cross High School?
We were the second graduating class.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just a great career for you. And then you come back after coaching many years in England. Why did you decide to come back?
Well, my kids are older now. They're finishing up their university. I actually, the timing is right, because I really do miss the environment here in Connecticut. I bleed UConn blue for forever, and I'm tired of just turning up twice or three times a year to catch a game or two. So I wanted to be around Connecticut.
How about those UConn women, huh?
I am so proud. I tell you, Gino has done fantastic work with the girls, and legendary program.
So, Bernard, just take us through the program, what the Hartford Knights do.
So, as I said, Larry Harrison threw that out at me. We started going after, we started looking at our children's grades. We then decided that a few of our children needed extra help. We were lucky to start off at Prince Tech, where they were able to give us access to a couple of classes after the school, where we had some teachers coming to work with our students, helping them out, whether it was English, math, science, but helping them out with their homework, set up goals with their parents on, where we're going to try to help them to get. We've been lucky in the 16 years of in business to helping over 60 kids go to college.
Wow.
We've been, and some of that have been our own personal money. We had to, it's very hard when you have single moms. They work from that 3 to 11 shift. We have children taking care of themselves, and it's very hard. I can see where the gangs can easily take over. I can understand when a child doesn't have any food to eat, or have only, one pair of clothes or stuff, no heat in the house. It's really tough. I would say that 80 to 85% of our children have behavioral and social issues within the city.
How many?
80 to 85%.
Wow. That hasn't been publicized, I'll tell you that. It's
unbelievable figure. 80 to 85%.
God.
It was a shame. I don't know if you all remember, but there was a time back when Mayor Perez, back then, they had spent $52 million in education. And out of that $52 million, they had 27% graduation rate. And out of that 27% graduation rate, 11% went to college. Now, how much of that 11% graduated? I mean, we just have to do a lot better we have to think out of the box. We cannot continue with traditional ways about, how we used to go about education. There's our children right now is into technology. We have to start thinking about different ways to be able to get them to think a lot better than the way they're thinking now.
And again, when you, it's just sad. It really, really is. But that's a tremendous figure, my God. With all the money that was spent, this figure that we were just hit with, this is going to be with me all day long.
Me too, and we'll repeat it before the program is over, talking with Bernard
Thomas and Tony Hansen from the Hartford Knights. Bernard, just so our audience can wrap their head around all this, are the Hartford Knights still a basketball team, or what is it exactly?
We partnered up with like the Connecticut Knights, where they're running basketball out of Manchester. It's been really hard for us. Together, we had put teams together. We've been doing it for over the years. It's hard for us to even get access to gyms, even gyms in Hartford. When, even just paying for a gym just for a season from, say, February to July costs over $10,000.
Oh,
and, you know, we're just fortunate enough that we are able to get access to a facility out in Manchester. We close a lot of gyms and a lot of facilities within the city of Hartford, and it's kind of crazy because our taxpayers pay for that. And our children should have access to some of those facilities. I live in South Windsor, and
I can't
all
believe
those
this.
Facilities are accessible.
Wow.
Tony?
Depending on how much time there is, I think Bernard's giving you the full story. The organization has now become a 501c3, and we realize that there's a lot of work to do.
You know, we're going to come back and talk about this, but you know, Dan, some of these numbers, I mean, this is a mind blower.
And you can't get a gym in the city.
Can you imagine? You can't get a gym in the city, and it's $24,000. Per student in the Hartford school system. It's just unbelievable.
The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
752. You know, Dan, in our business, you never know who you're going to meet or when you're going to meet them and the stories that you're going to get. I mean, can you imagine gyms in Hartford, kids in Hartford that need them, and you got to pay a high price for gyms in Hartford, but yet in some of these other towns, it's entirely different. I mean, what a story this is.
Well, that's it. Talking with Bernard Thomas and Tony Hansen from the Hartford Knights. Bernard and Tony, of course, we met you. Tony doesn't remember I broadcast his games years ago, but that's another era. But anyway, we met at the Yankee Institute
yep.
Forum on school choice a week ago Monday. Why were you there? We'll start with you, Bernard.
We were there because the students that we're dealing with, some of the students that we're dealing with, are suffering from various different traumas, whether it's gang-related, whether it's family-related. And we see this on a regular basis. And before they even, first of all, we have to help identify some of these problems. Some of these problems are misdiagnosed. And before they even can get to the part to where they can, you know, actually settle down to begin to learn their education, we have to come cover some of the other areas. So Gwen Samuels, from which is part of the Connecticut Parents Union, invited us there. We're seeing what's going on within the urban areas about the education, and we're there to try to support to make things better for our urban area. We're just trying to do our piece, especially with the mentoring. Mentoring is so much needed in the community, but people just don't understand. They think mentoring is like what it used to be. But our mentors that we have at the Hartford Knights, which are well-trained, they have to deal with a whole lot of other issues. And that's where that trauma-informed situation comes into play.
You know, Dan, sitting here today, doing our broadcast together like we do every morning with these two gentlemen, we have got to talk to Mayor Luke Bronin about this. I mean,
he'll be with us in a week when we broadcast from the Capitol.
When we broadcast from the Capitol. And these are the things that we're finding out that a lot of people didn't know.
So Tony, talk about your attendance at that forum last week.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I don't know if many people know, I'm a teacher by trade as well. So my heart is in education. The Yankee Institute event highlighted, a philosophy in terms of how important education is. I know there's a various, views, whether parents' choice is more important and what's happening to the, you know, to the inner city schools with their public school funding. You know, there's always an issue. Bernard and I sat down and we realized that the kind of work that we're doing, we need to understand the strategic side of how things work. So we part of our business plan is to make sure that we understand the difference in the political and educational and funding strategies. And I must admit, with the mayor, the new mayor of Hartford. I don't want to get into because he's really doing a good job. He's in a hard place. He walked into a really interesting situation which he's challenged with. But we have a very good relationship with the city of Hartford. Bernard is well connected with the counselors. The Hartford Knights is respected amongst the nonprofits throughout the city because of the work that we do. I think that we just need to let people know more about the work.
Right. More about the work and what the problems are, too.
Exactly.
Well, the question becomes, can our school system, our public school system, overcome some of these problems? Mothers working, single moms working the 3 to 11 shift, kids going to school hungry. Can they overcome this?
And gangs.
Bernard.
The answer is yes. I always believe that you can always overcome a problem. The question is how we're addressing it. You're not going to be able to take it all on at once, but we have to start taking pieces at a time to make it a lot better. It's going to take some time. It's been like that for a while. It's been going on and on. And at times it seems like it gets a little worse. The Hartford Police is under tremendous responsibility. We're trying to make sure that the community is supporting the police more to cut down on some of these crimes. We have to get involved. I feel that Hartford needs to get more involved. We have individuals who support us, like Representative McCrory has been there to support our organization. The Senator Eric Coleman, we have a lot of politicians that have been there to push to make sure things are better, and these are the type of people that we need to help. We need to, you know, help them support. But the Hartford people must get involved.
You know something? All of us must get involved.
I agree. Right?
This is the reason, and Dan and I talked about this, to have you guys come in here, and it hasn't happened before. But we wanted our radio audience, because we've got a compassionate audience. We wanted our audience to hear it from the two of you, what the situation is and what we have got to do to correct it. And as far as I'm concerned, and I know Dan feels the same way, that we can correct it. And we've just got to communicate with one another like we are doing this morning. And the audience out there can understand now some of the problems that we have right here in our capital city. So we're going to continue our discussions when we come back, and we are just delighted to have the both of you with us this morning. Brought to you by Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. New sponsors here in the morning, and we are all sitting in the chairs together this morning, and we hope to make something happen, and soon.
In our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair today, we have Bernard Thomas. He's Executive Director of the Hartford Knights, and this is an education, youth mentoring, and advocacy organization. And also Tony Hansen, and Tony is the Program Director with the Hartford Knights.
And a former star at UConn.
Star at UConn and Holy Cross High School in Waterbury.
Yes.
Bernard, again, for our audience, now the Knights send mentors into these schools. How does the program work?
Well, we align ourselves with, first of all, with principals that are receptive to what we're trying to do. I believe that every school could benefit and would benefit from mentoring. We're fortunate enough to be part of the funding, which Tony Harps oversees some of that judicial funding, to go to the schools. We help out mentoring. Especially at a Waverly school, there's an intervention time that the principal allows where our mentors are working with the students there on various different issues and along with schoolwork. They're doing a great job. I could never be so much more proud to have the mentors that I have. Because they're, you know, initially they thought, you know, they're helping out with schoolwork, but they're finding out that they're dealing with, like I said, the behavior and social issues for those young individuals, and they're helping them and trying to grow them into being better persons than when they originally started out with them.
If you had to answer a question, somebody said, what is wrong? What is wrong that these young people don't have what other young people have? What is the reason? Is it because the parents are working late hours? What is it? What causes the gangs to be the rulers?
It could be various different issues. Being a single parent is a huge issue. A single parent just has to dealing, but then when we talk about there's a, you know, a village helps to grow a child in the city of Hartford, that is so important that we need to pay attention to things like that. That's why I believe in after-school activities, various different activities to expose our children. A lot of our children aren't exposed to various different things that outside suburban might be exposed to, and we need people to help bring some of those choices into Hartford. We need to evaluate programs that are getting funded that might not be doing as much as they could be doing, and other programs that aren't getting as funded that could probably help out more than what they're doing. So there's various different issues.
Tony, I know that the Hartford Knights also help those coming out of juvenile detention. Talk about that.
Yeah, so it's a new project that that we've just got involved with the DCF, Department of Children and Families. They realize there's a gap in support for young people coming back into the system, back into the communities, from their supervised or, you know, their detention. We work with young people to specifically around what we call credit recovery. They might have lost
credit recovery.
Yeah, credit recovery regarding their education. They might have a significant gaps in their education development and their education attainment. And the state has started a new project called the Virtual Academy, which gives them an opportunity to get online and to work on the courses that they've missed throughout their educational experience and the things that they might have had problems with the law. Our tutors go out and support the young people, support their parents, support the schools that they're trying to get back into, and we also present an educational hub, which we're fortunate to be able to provide at our office headquarters. So they can come into our office at, you know, at their own time, work at their own pace, mm-hmm. with teachers that are involved with the state, with the tutors that we hire through the funding, and together we try to work, you know, to support that young person.
You know, just listening, Dan, here today to these two folks that are just so dedicated, you have to wonder about the whole city and the young people in the city, and how many of them are
we're
out
on the same wavelength, Brett. I'm just wondering, these numbers have to be overwhelming.
They're overwhelming.
Is that a fair assessment?
The numbers are, and let's not forget, we have great teachers.
Right.
We have some great students. We have students coming from in the city, students going out the city. The majority of the students that we're dealing with, they have behavior and social issues, majority of them. We have three groups that don't work together, have never worked together. One is judicial, one is the Board of Education, and the other is Department of Correction.
Why is that? How come they're not working together?
Yeah, what about the Board of Education?
I don't know exactly what to tell you. Everybody recognizes that they don't work together. There was a time when I felt that the education system was pushing some of our students through the judicial system. Look at it like this. When I say we can't continue to operate the way we've been doing, if a child comes out of detention and is on probation, we shouldn't be debating whether or not, and especially if that child does not go right back to school. We're giving those children too many rights. We should not be debating about whether or not that child should be in some form of education program. Or if a kid is suspended or expelled, they're doing less time in jail, getting less educated. We need to change on how we look at those views. I feel if a normal student is doing 6 hours, if you're getting in trouble in school, Why is the state say, well, we're only mandated to give you 2 hours per day? We need to change that thinking. And if we don't start changing that type of thinking, that's why we're currently in some of the problems that we are now.
Tony.
I think Bernard very frankly is highlighting, the issues. Being myself, being involved in the education world, I can see the issues, especially special education issues. There's huge gaps. We have politicians trying their best to cover a multitude of need in different areas. So there's a political challenge there. We have the challenge that we met you guys at, you know, at the education event, where, you know, we're trying to see which political, you know, educational way, you know, is better for, you know, for the whole environment or whole community. I think where we are, we take a very pragmatic role. We're child-centered. So it's whatever the child needs. We can't get involved with the politics, right, because that alienates everything that we do. So we want to learn as much as we can about everything and to be able to provide that young person
now,
with the support.
Have you ever thought about setting up perhaps a group of people other than the ones that you work with, mm-hmm, that have nothing to do with it, to bring people like that in, and maybe they can add something to what you're doing, but they haven't been exposed to it?
Absolutely. We do have a network of similar nonprofits that provide this kind of support in different ways. Ours is unique because we combine sport, education, mm-hmm, as well as the special needs that young people may have. The funding, we have to give credit where credit is due. Judicial, actually, the people involved in judicial see that there's a need for several nonprofits to work together because, you know, the traditional programs can't reach everybody. So Doug McCrory has done a real good job with his second chance funding. He's got together with church organizations. We're kind of leading on that. The YMCA is involved. You know, so there's a network of nonprofits that's filling that gap. But of course, resourcing is a huge issue, and you know it's not unlimited funding out there. So each organization has to provide their own strategies to make sure that they can get the resources they need to provide more support.
Okay, it is 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. Two very special guests, and I think all of us are learning something this morning. There's no question about it, and I know Dan and myself never realized, and we've been in this city for a long time, some of the real deep problems that they have. Daniel, I tell you,
what an eye-opener, talking with Bernard Thomas, Tony Hansen from the Hartford Knights. And this is not meant as a criticism of anybody, and I know that there are people, including the mayor, who are working hard trying to straighten this city out. Yeah. But are we getting the bang for our buck when it comes to education spending in Hartford? Well, Bernard, I'll ask you.
Tony's smiling.
we'll ask Tony, too.
We always want better. Yeah. If we're trying to change the way our community is, if we're satisfied, we have to educate. Remember, we're not just dealing with our children. We're dealing with their parents, too. We're dealing with a town that doesn't get involved when it comes to politics, or they don't come out. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about majority of them. So if we want better, we're going to have to make changes ourselves. We're going to have to get involved. And a lot of times it seems like the people just don't want to get involved.
But $24,000 a student in the city of Hartford, it doesn't cost some of the kids to go to college that much money. But so what are we doing wrong?
Well, my question to you both gentlemen would be, should we be directing our resources to other areas in order to make this thing work?
There you go.
Well, you're looking at two pragmatic people that are involved in the nonprofit world. So our commitment is basically targeted towards the individual. We're child-centered. We're parents, advocates. Mm-hmm. We have to be supportive. We do understand there's a huge political challenge. We do understand the mayor of Hartford is working hard trying to address this. We understand there's funding issues for our public school systems. We understand there's changes that are coming, and with the new administration in the executive level, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges. As far as Bernard and I are concerned, we are concerned about that individual, case-by-case basis, how we can support, and getting the word out to let them know that regardless of whatever resources that we have, we're putting everything that we can, individuals and monetary, you know, into each child to help them.
In their own money, too.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bernard, you, for people just tuning in, you gave us a figure in the first portion of this interview, and I'd like you to repeat it. 80 to 85% was the percentage of what?
Of individuals. We, our number is a little higher, but individuals with behavior and social skill problems.
In the Hartford school system, 80 to 85% of the students have behavioral and social problems?
I'm saying 80 to 85% of the students that we deal with.
That you deal with.
That we deal with.
Right.
Have those issues.
Okay.
Now, we have to be careful, because there's also a labeling issue.
That's
correct. We don't want to get into
right.
that argument. But what Bernard is talking about, the young people that we work with, we realize that they have academic gaps, and that's initially why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
But then the mentors are also helping them through their social and emotional issues, which obviously reflects the environment, their parental, you know, maybe things at home, and maybe things that are involved in community. That's why we're anxious about the gang problems, the substance misuse, and the education angle.
And these are things, Dan, that really, that people don't know about. I mean, and this is why we're doing this.
Right. You know, this substance abuse, and obviously you're closer to it than we are, but we had a state senator on the other day. She said it's everywhere in our school systems, that just about every corner of the state is affected by this. Talk about that.
It's a cheap drug. It's real cheap. I mean, for the people who can't afford it, like you said, it's everywhere. It is a... It is definitely an epidemic, and it's something that all hands on deck have to be if they're not going to constantly look at people ODing.
I think what we're trying to see ourselves, we're trying to see where we're placed at in terms of our organization to address these kind of issues. It takes, you know, different organizations with different specialisms. You know, the health area, the health organizations have this huge challenge, what you mm-hmm. say about substance misuse and mental health issues. The educational system has the, you know, the resourcing and the funding issues. Even now, poor Connecticut has, you know, has to look at the ways they address support and special education, because right. that needs to be rethought.
Mm-hmm.
So as an organization, we realized that we had to find out more, because we were isolated for many years with Bernard just focusing on the kids. But for us to get the word out, to share what we do, we have to look at the world a little bit more strategic and try to align ourselves with good people that care about these young people and are willing to help.
Now, you were in England for a good part of your career. How does England handle these situations?
It's really interesting. Similar problems, similar political challenges. The reason why Bernard and I connected, because I was doing a similar project in England through my basketball coaching called Hoop Dreams, a nonprofit. And when we connected, we realized that we were kind of doing the same thing. We even had a program that was really funny when Bernard and I talked about it. You know, mm-hmm. would you like to share that with me?
Back on Track? No,
Back on Track is a huge educational program in England, funded by the government to try to get young people who are experiencing educational and social emotional issues back on track, back in the system, where they're getting the kind of support they need. So it's happening all over the world. That's why I'm in my retirement stage, where I have more time. I'm very fortunate that Bernard offered me, an opportunity to stay involved And I'm totally into it. I think Connecticut and the young people need this kind of organization.
And this is something, Dan, this is something, too, that we have to get to those who are running the ship, so to speak. We've got to get to the mayor. I know the mayor has his hands full, but certainly we are going to update him on what we have talked about here today. And I certainly can say on behalf of Dan and myself that if you need some things, if you need fundraising, if you need, we can help you put together some of these areas and some of the people that we know that I'm sure once they hear this and know what we have, the new information that Dan didn't realize and I didn't realize, and we've been here for many years in this city, but it really is, and the drug problem is a huge problem that we are starting to work on already. And these are the things that we've got to solve. And there are some people say, hey, look, why even bother? Why even bother? Hartford's done. Hartford is not done.
Oh.
Hartford is not done, and that's what it takes. It takes people who are committed, who are not afraid to go out there, and we certainly commend the two of you for what you're doing. And there's a great deal that we can do through what we do, and I speak for Dan and myself.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brad. On behalf of the Hartford Knights, we appreciate any kind of help and support that you offer, so we'll take you up on that.
And I thank you, too, Brad. And one thing everybody says, you know, why to get involved, but recognize whatever happens in the city slowly flows out to the suburbs, and then you see
Absolutely.
We have in these type of issues. We need to be able to help and support each other.
Well, thanks a million for being with us for the whole hour, and you will hear from us again.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you for having us.
You're motivated, I tell you. I'm motivated.
Thank you, sir.
You know, you think you know everything that's going on, and you don't know everything, and when you find new things out, you just say, hey, we got to take that hill, and we've got to solve that problem.
Yes,
and we can if we do it together.
Thank you so much, Brad. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. On behalf of Dan and myself, just delighted that you were able to spend this time with us.